So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Once again, welcome back, everybody. How about this? A new teaching with authority. He taught them as one having authority and not as their scribes. You want to know why Jesus spoke with authority? Because authority means author's rights. And what you hear in the Gospel of Mark here is the first time that anyone has ever heard about the Scriptures from the author of the Scriptures. And don't you wish you had a transcript of what he said? But even if you had a transcript of what he said, you know what's interesting? It wouldn't do it justice. Because it wasn't just what he said. It was the way Jesus said it. The word authority in Greek from the Gospel of Mark here is exousia. And ousia means your being. Jesus, when he spoke out of the depths of his very being. And people knew the age of the Messiah had arrived. And to make it doubly clear that the age of the Messiah had arrived, he drives out an unclean spirit here in the synagogue. Because, you know, the ancient prophecy was that the Messiah would have authority over the unclean spirits as a sign to the world that the ancient curse has finally begun to be reversed. And that's what I'd actually like to speak about you, with all of you here this morning. Because here's a little bit of Bible trivia for you. You know what the most common thing that Jesus does in all the New Testament? Surprising, the answer is exorcisms. How many times Jesus preaches parables in the New Testament? The answer is 31 times. How many times does Jesus work miracles in the New Testament? 35. 29 of which are healings. How many times does Jesus expel an unclean spirit from a soul? The answer is 39 times. Something he does more than anything else in all the New Testament, and you almost never hear about it, right? That's partly because whenever people start to talk about things like devils and demons and exorcisms, it makes people get uncomfortable. And they say, I don't like this talk very much. It sounds superstitious or pre-scientific. Or, you know, maybe when they're talking about driving out unclean spirits, you know, maybe it's just a literary device. You know, it's sort of like their way of saying that he was fighting against what was wrong in the world. Trouble is, talking about Jesus driving out unclean spirits as being merely a literary device, it doesn't do justice to the New Testament. Okay, let's not forget, every week, we stand up here at Mass, we profess our faith, and we say we believe in all things visible and invisible. And if you haven't heard it before, let me remind you, that we believe that before God created anything in the visible order, the first thing he created was an entire race of purely spiritual creatures, beings of pure intellect and pure will. What do we call these creatures? We call them the angels. Pure intellect, to know what is right, and with a will, with freedom, with the ability to choose what is right, and unfortunately, also with the ability to choose what is wrong. And they say that somewhere back along the ages, the angels faced a test. What would they do with their freedom? We don't know what that test was, but we only know that some of those angels did not pass that test. With Lucifer, they said, non serviam, I will not serve. And in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus says, I saw Satan fall out of heaven like a lightning bolt. Do we believe that there actually is a devil? Yes, in fact, we do. However, it's very important to understand that we do not believe that every single inclination that you might have to do something wrong is something that comes straight from the hand of the devil. We don't believe that. Okay, we believe there's three sources of all of your temptations. Three sources. We call them the world, the flesh, and the devil. By the world, we mean bad example. And isn't there plenty of that in our own time? How powerful a temptation it is when you see somebody else doing something that's wrong. Because don't you immediately think to yourself, hey, wait a minute now. If he's doing it, and she's doing it, why can't I do it? Very strong pull to do the wrong thing. And I was at the last ever Washington Redskins game at old RFK Stadium. At the very end of the game, they flashed a big message up on the Jumbotron. It's against the law in the District of Columbia to run out onto the field. And so what's the next thing that happened? One lone, very bold soul runs out onto the field. And what do you think happened after that? 10 more people ran out onto the field, and then 100 people ran out onto the field. And actually, no, there's thousands of people milling about all on the field. And somebody last night, they said, Father, did you run out onto the field? And I said, no, I had the bargain basement seats up in the ozone layer. It wasn't even possible for me. But I watched this unfold before my eyes, and I thought, here's a very good example of the power of bad example. Very powerful. The second is the flesh. And by flesh we mean, you know, as a consequence of original sin, there's something that we call concupiscence. And it means that in spite of the fact that you're still good, all the desires of the body are way, way out of whack. You want to eat more than you should, and of all the wrong things. And you want to drink more than you should. And you want to rest when you don't really need rest. And you name the craving of the body demands it way out of proportion to what's good for you or for anybody else. And it really stinks because, you know, we've got to spend the rest of our lives fighting against this, okay? But in addition to those two, there is a third dimension operating underneath those two in an utterly mysterious way, what the scriptures call the mysterium iniquitatis. The mystery of evil. There is a fallen, intelligent spirit who's bent on your destruction. Now, to get a better understanding of what this spirit does, let's take a quick look at four titles of the devil that come to us down from the scriptures, okay? Four titles. First title we're going to look at is the word devil. The word devil comes from two Greek words, dia and balein, and it's from that dia balein that we get our word diabolic. Diabolein literally means to tear into two. And the signature activity of the evil spirit is to divide us. To divide us from God and from one another. Go back to the book of Genesis and you'll find the first interaction of the evil spirit with any person turns to Eve in the garden and says, did God really tell you that you couldn't eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge in the center of the garden, lest you die? Oh, you certainly will not die. God knows, as soon as you eat of the fruit of that tree, you will become God's equal. That's why he told you not to eat of the fruit of the tree. God in heaven is trying to hold you down. And at that moment, her trust in her Creator died in her heart. And she chose disobedience. And you know what's interesting? One thing you often hear me saying from the pulpit is, trust the Lord, trust the Lord, trust the Lord. You know why I'm always saying trust the Lord? It's because love begins with trust. Where there is no trust, love is not possible. Whether it's among ourselves or with God. So the very first thing the evil spirit does, divides us from our good God by making us doubt his goodness for us. And then you notice what happens next? We get divided against one another. God says to Adam and Eve, why would you break my good commandment and eat the fruit of the tree of which I told you not to eat? And Adam immediately points the finger and he says, it's all her fault. That woman that you put here with me, she made me do it. And Eve says, oh no, it's not my fault. That's not true. And what you find right here is the world's first ever marital argument. But you see what's happening at a deeper level. The man is being divided against the woman. And don't we have too much of that in our own time? God created the male and female. And you want to know what? They're both greatly good and different. and complementary and made one for the other. I knew a seminarian from China, and he told me that in Mandarin Chinese, if you take the word for man and you put it next to the word for woman, you get the word for good. Isn't that interesting? And then the work of the Holy Spirit, rather, is to build us up by bringing us together. Talk about the Holy Trinity now. Three persons in one God, absolute unity. Talk about the choirs of angels. You want to know why we call the angels choirs? It's because in the image of singing, there's an image of unity. And the work of the Holy Spirit is bringing together that which strife and sin have torn apart. So when you see reconciliations between enemies, among families, among communities, among societies, churches, nations, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. And you and I, we need to be agents of unity one for another. Not always possible. You got to stand up for what's true and good. But in as much as possible, we want to be forces in this world to bring people together. Because I'll tell you, one of the greatest signs of the diabolic in our own time is the way we are all divided against each other. Next word is Satan. Comes from the Hebrew ho satanas, and it means the accuser. Here's a mental exercise for you for the rest of the day. See if you can monitor your thoughts. And think about how many times in your mind you accuse other people. There goes my brother again. Being lazy, never lending a helping hand. Oh, there goes my sister again, mouthing off. She can't have a single thought. She doesn't have to speak out loud. Oh, there's my husband again. He's always thinking about himself, never lending a helping hand, whatever it might be. You know, you accuse yourself too. And of this, I don't mean the healthy self-accusation that comes from having a good conscience, but rather what I like to call stinking thinking. This voice inside your head that says, I'm no good, I'm not lovable, I'm too fat, I'm too old, I'm too dumb. That none of that comes from God. That's all the voice of the accuser. And you want to know what else he does? He accuses you of your sins. Because doesn't it happen that he whispers into your ear and he says, go ahead and give in to that temptation. Nobody will ever know. And then no sooner have you fallen, what does he do? He turns on you. And he says, you sinner, God will never forgive you now. This is why we call him the... And don't we accuse entire groups of people? Don't we accuse entire races? Entire religions? Entire regions of the world, right? Watch out. What we want to be is people who are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Because you know what the Holy Spirit does? It's the exact opposite. When God looks at you, he sees the good that he created. And he affirms that good. And he builds up that good. We want to do that one person for another. In as much as you can see and affirm what is good in another person, always do so. And you're helping counteract the work of Satan, the accuser in the world. Letter of St. John says that the evil one is a liar and the father of lies, a liar from the beginning, and lying is his native speech. And Jesus, by contrast, he says, whoever keeps my commandments will have my truth and live in my truth, and the truth will set you free. I'll give you one tiny little reminder, in as much as we're trying to be people of the truth. Remember this, truth and charity always go together. You do your neighbor no good service when you say something about them which, entirely true, is terribly, terribly unkind. No good service. Remember, the greater the truth you're going to speak, the greater the charity that has to go right along with it. And we build up one another and carry out the work of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, the letter of John calls the evil one a murderer from the beginning. And you notice that's exactly what happens back in the Old Testament. No sooner have they given in to sin, what, that there begins to be murder, Cain and Abel, and down through all the ugly history of the world. You know, I look back on the last 100 years, and I see more death than we've ever had. In all of human history, what with two world wars and atomic attacks and constant, never-ending violence, and let's not forget abortion, and let's not forget the secularist, godless ideologies of Nazism and communism, and what's the body count of all of that? I mean, you get lost in the tens and even hundreds of millions. And now you know why Pope John Paul II said this is a culture of death, and we need to be people of life. Because it's the mark of the evil spirit to end life, and it's the mark of the Holy Spirit to give life. We want to be people who defend the sanctity of human life and operate against this diabolic spirit in our world. But you know what? All that's the bad news. That's all the bad news. You want to know what the good news is? The good news is that God has conquered all of this, just like you heard here in your gospel. Our Lord has driven out the power of evil. Please don't think of the devil as being like the opposite of God. God has no opposite. He has no equal and he has no opposite. And he's conquered completely. However, he still gives you your sovereign free will. You can do anything you want. But one of my favorite images for the evil one, it comes from Padre Pio, Saint Padre Pio. And he says that Satan's like a dog on a chain. As long as you don't get too close, he can't do anything to you. So you want to defend yourself with our Lord's good strength by taking time to pray, right? Get to know your Heavenly Father and talk to Him every day. By receiving the Eucharist. Most especially by receiving God's gift of forgiveness in confession. It's the most powerful tool of destroying the work of temptation and evil that's operating deep down in all of our souls. Look into the saints. To give you an example of just how good a human being can be. Because we've got too many celebrities out there, right? We're paying way too much attention to them. Let's look at the saints instead. Those are our real heroes. We mean what we say every time we say the Our Father. Deliver us, Lord. Deliver us from evil. So we can't fight this battle on our own. That's okay. We don't have to. God's grace is your defense. If today you'll hear His voice. And harden not your hearts. Amen.